Our text this morning is Psalm 20. Psalm 20, verses 1 through 9. I will just read the first part of verse 5 at this time. We will rejoice in thy salvation. That's our theme this morning. We will rejoice in thy salvation. And we're going to answer two questions that arise from this text and that are answered here. The first is, what is our need in preparation for the Lord's Supper? And the second is, what is our confidence in preparation for the Lord's Supper? So first, what is our need in preparation for the Lord's Supper? Again, we have a psalm that is to the chief musician, a psalm of David, so we know that it is inspired by the Holy Spirit. It is meant to be sung in the public worship service, as we just have done. But who is this psalm really about? Who is this that is called thee in verses 1 through 4? We would say our singular you. Who is this? And who is the we in verse 5? And who is the anointed in verse 6? See, the big clue as to who this psalm is all about is that little phrase, his anointed. Because that word anointed in Hebrew is Messiah. So that tells us that his anointed here is going to point us already to the promised Messiah. Yes, it is first of all a Psalm of David. It is about King David as the anointed King of Israel. But as David is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is the son of David, our focus is going to be the Lord Jesus Christ, the anointed King of his people. And the people here are praying for their King, for their anointed King. The people know something. The people know that if all goes well with our King, then all will be well for us too. If all is well with the King, it will be well with us. So it is a prayer for the King. And we can read it and pray it and sing it together today. But as the New Testament church, we sing it and we read it and we pray it looking back, as this psalm has already been fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we prepare for the administration of the Lord's Supper next Lord's Day, he is our focus today, and he should be our focus all week long, and he will be our focus next Lord's Day too. But keep in mind that what we read here and what we need in preparation for the Lord's Supper is what we need for life. Not just this week, but for all the life of a Christian, of a believer. This is what we need every day. As we go through this, as preparation for the Lord's Supper, let's also think to the baptism to be administered this afternoon. Because in baptism, matters are promised by the Holy God for his covenant people. Matters that are received by grace and by faith. Everything we need is promised there. And all our confidence is promised there too. The same as it is for the Lord's Supper. A believer's life is spelt out in Psalm 20. Our great need of all times. And now, see, a believer knows his need. Knows that this is what I need. The Holy Spirit has made it known to us through his word, through his working in our souls. And an unbeliever is not aware of this. He can think the words, he can read it, but it really doesn't come home to his soul. But you see, in all the circumstances of life, in all the ups and downs, in prosperity and in adversity, these are the things we need. And because things, dear believers, because things went well for our King of Kings, things go well for us too. And that no matter what the circumstances in our lives, no matter what phone calls we receive this week with more bad news about something, even at times when it seems there's nothing to rejoice about anymore, then a believer clings to this. We will rejoice in thy salvation. We will rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what is the church here praying for her King? The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. That is the prayer of the church. It's our wish, our desire, but at the same time, it's God's reality. The Lord hears thee in the day of trouble. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day for him was a day of trouble. Every day of his life. Solomon says he is a brother born for adversity. He says that of Jesus. Isaiah said he's a man of sorrows and acquainted with griefs. Even as a baby, he's persecuted by King Herod. A little later on, he's tempted by Satan. He was grieved at times at the hardness and the unbelief of the people, even often of his own disciples. His soul is said to be troubled. Think of when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, but it says there he began to be heavy and sore amazed, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. And he said, his soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Days of trouble without end, but especially and most certainly the day of trouble when he is on the cross, where he endures the cruel mockings of the people, of the common people, and of the religious leaders, the chief priests, and even of the thieves who are crucified with him. On the cross, where Satan and all his principalities and powers are turned loose on him. And he's wrestling with them. And that, on that cross where he bears all the sins of all his people all at once. Where he endures the wrath of God against sin and where he is forsaken of God. Is that not a day of trouble for the Lord Jesus Christ? And you see, in that day of trouble, in Gethsemane, on Golgotha's cross, Jesus is praying to his Father, just like he did at the other times. And here the church prays that God would hear and answer him. And God the Father always heard him. He heard him at the grave of Lazarus. He heard him in the garden, where he filled his soul with courage. He heard him on the cross even. Yes, even when he was forsaken, God the Father still heard him. God didn't leave him on that cross. He helped him as a man and as a mediator. Isaiah prophesies of that in a prophecy of the servant of Jehovah in Isaiah 49. He says, "Thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee. In a day of salvation have I helped thee. And I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people." And it's because God heard his Son that this is true. And in preparation for the Lord's Supper, beloved, we need to know. We need to know that the Lord heard our Savior and King in his day of trouble, when he was in trouble for us, on our behalf, in our place. The name of the God of Jacob, defend thee. The word defend thee is better translated, set you in a high place. The God of Jacob, the God on whom Jacob called, the God in whom Jacob trusted. Jacob was a man who went through many troubles too, but the Lord delivered him out of them all. Jacob here can represent the people of God, the spiritual sons of Jacob, the church of the living God, whose God is the Lord. The Old Testament church here is praying for Messiah, that God would defend him, would set him on high, would exalt him. And God did that. But first, he had to go through a very low place. He was brought very low in the state of his humiliation. He took on him our human flesh. As the Bible says, he took on him the form of a servant. Philippians 2 verse 7. And through the suffering of death, he, the Son of God, is made a little lower than the angels. And he was laid in the lower parts of the earth. But here, the Old Testament church is praying for him to be raised from the dead, as it were, to be set on high, to be resurrected from the dead, praying for his ascension, for his being seated at the right hand of God, and in preparation for the Lord's Supper. We remember the Lord has set us in a high place with our Lord and King. Just as we were buried with him, just as we were raised with him, so we have ascended with him. And we sit now already, in a certain sense, at the right hand of God with our King. And in preparation for the Lord's Supper, that should be our focus. We can focus in so many places, all the wrong places, especially in here, where you will find nothing right. But look to him alone. The Lord hear thee. The Lord set you in a high place. The Lord send thee help from this sanctuary. Thinking of the sanctuary there in David's days, he would have been thinking of the tabernacle. The holy place there where the ark was. The symbol of the presence of God. Maybe it's even here a reference to the sanctuary of heaven. The habitation of God's glorious holiness. The Lord send you help from there and strengthen you out of Zion. For the Old Testament church, that help and strength prayed for here would be the assistance and support which Christ as a man would receive from his Father. Yes, God forsook the Lord Jesus when he was on the cross. At that moment, there was no help or strength from God. No, beloved, he had to die on that cross. He had to pay in full the price for your and my sin. And again, when he was taken down from the cross and he's buried in the tomb, and it seems all is lost, and for 3 days there's no help or strength from the Lord. And then, through the help and strength from God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, Christ is raised from the dead. And what did he do after that? He sent forth his disciples, now his apostles and the preachers today, and he made the gospel the power of God to salvation for whoever would believe it. And so strengthened the cause and the interest and the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in preparation for the Lord's Supper, as under the preaching of the Word of God, we need the Lord to strengthen us, to strengthen our faith, to strengthen our zeal, to strengthen our perseverance. Because if he does not strengthen, we will yet fall and fail. The Lord, remember all thy offerings. Think about that. All the offerings, the spiritual sacrifices of prayer and praise that the Lord Jesus Christ raises up as the great high priest for his people. And think of the prayers of believers offered by the Lord Jesus and acceptable to God in and through the Lord Jesus. Yes, but the main point here is the offering up of Christ of himself, of his own body. That's why it's expressed in singular here in the next phrase, the Lord accept thy burnt sacrifice. And that word accept there, in Hebrew, one of its meanings that's the most powerful meaning is that he would reduce it to ashes. It happened several times in the Old Testament that the way in which Lord made known that the sacrifices offered were acceptable to him was by fire coming down from heaven and consuming them, reducing them to ashes. Children, just one example. You remember the prophet Elijah on Mount Carmel. What happened? The fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice. That's how Elijah knew. That's how all the people knew. The Lord accepts this sacrifice. He reduced it to ashes. And the Old Testament church here is praying to God to accept the sacrifice of Christ himself. That sacrifice that puts away sins. That sacrifice that perfects forever those who are sanctified. That sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, his perfect life and his perfect suffering and death, that was a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord. Because only by that sacrifice is his justice satisfied. Only by Christ's sacrifice is the law magnified and made honorable. Only by that sacrifice are the sins of God's people atoned for. And only by that sacrifice are our persons accepted. Our sacrifices of prayer and praise come up with acceptance to God only through Christ's sacrifice. And in preparation for the Lord's Supper, we need to know that it is only Christ's sacrifice that opens the way for sinners like us to come again into communion with God. Communion in our daily lives, communion in our prayers, communion at the Lord's table. Only through Christ's sacrifice are we benefited. In the end of the first three, there's that little word, Selah. Right? And we've said there's really nobody knows for certain what it means, but it seems one of its meanings is in a musical mark to take a little pause. To pause here. Just take a breath. Contemplate the Word of God for a moment. And think about what it is that we need this week. We don't need to go and try harder to be better Christians. That's not going to be to any avail. We need to look again and again to Christ Jesus and His perfection. That's what we need. We need to know that the Lord has accepted His sacrifice and that our only hope and our trust and our dependence is to be in Him. Because only then will we be able to say, we will rejoice in thy salvation. The word salvation, Yeshua, Jesus. We will rejoice in Jesus. Verse 4. The Lord grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. What was the desire of Christ's heart? What was his great desire? What was the travail of his soul, as Isaiah 53 puts it, that he would see his seed, that he would see his people coming to faith, that he would see his people eventually coming to God's right hand. He wants to have all those who are called to be justified and sanctified and glorified. And the Old Testament church is praying for this already. Even though they cannot see exactly, it's clearly as we can. That's what's behind this prayer. The Lord fulfill all thy counsel. Whatever the Lord has decreed, whatever the Lord Jesus Christ has in his counsel, whatever was agreed upon in that counsel, all the covenant promises. Think here of the covenant of peace between him and his Father. Where he agrees, yes, I will be humbled and then I will be glorified for the salvation of my people. What do we need in preparation for the Lord's Supper? We need to know and we need to remember that Christ's work is finished, that he has fulfilled all the counsel. He has been given whatever was the desire of his heart, and that is to save his people. The counsel of peace is fulfilled, and the Lord Jesus Christ has supplied all that we need. Is that your need too? When you think ahead now to the Lord's Supper next Lord's Day, if we're honest with each other, what have we been thinking? Or have we even been thinking about it? Life is so busy. What do we think we need for next Lord's Day? Something for us to do? No. Not something for us to do. But to depend on what Christ has done. And to look to His finished work. And not to try to add anything to it. Because if we try to add anything to it, we're secretly just taking away from His finished work. Our need is for the Lord Jesus Christ. And to believe that. And to trust in Him. And Him alone. That's what we need. According to Psalm 20. But what is our confidence then? For the Lord's Supper. Because we have to have some confidence too that we are going to be accepted at the Lord's Supper. And where is our confidence then?
Verse 5.
We will rejoice in thy salvation. Can also be translated as, so will we rejoice in thy salvation. When we know that all our needs are met in Christ Jesus the Lord, we will rejoice in thy salvation. That's the goal of the church. The goal of the church in all these prayers for the Messiah is that we will rejoice. When our prayers are answered, and it is all secured in Christ Jesus the Lord, salvation is made sure in the Messiah, we will rejoice in that salvation. Salvation from death. Salvation from the grave. Salvation from sin. Salvation from ourselves. And Christ enters into this death and the grave. And he gives us salvation. And that's what gives the joy to the people of the Lord. That is the only thing that will cause us to rejoice, is to look again to him and his salvation. What is there ever to rejoice in when you look at yourself? You find something to rejoice in yourself? No, only in the Lord Jesus Christ. We rejoice not only in his sufferings and in his death, but especially in his resurrection from the dead. And in his being seated at the right hand of God, and in his constant intercession for us. That's what gives joy. That's what gives the victory of faith in him. That's what increases the joy of the Lord's people in the salvation of Christ. And that is what enables us to say, like Paul says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. And the church replies, we will rejoice in that kind of salvation. We will rejoice in thy salvation. If that is your hope, your dependence, your trust, you will rejoice in it. Because you know, in me, there is nothing to rejoice in. The salvation of the Lord. The salvation of the Lord, of which Christ is the author. That salvation that is so great, so suitable to your case and mine. It is so complete, it is so perfect, it is so eternal, that it is a matter of joy to all who become aware of their need for it by the working of the Holy Spirit, enlightening the Word of God, you become aware of your need for this salvation. And it gives joy to all those who have a comfortable sense of their hope and interest in this salvation by the grace of God. In preparation for the Lord's Supper, all of life, our confidence is thy salvation, the confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. If you think that somehow you can come to the Lord's Supper next week having some self-confidence or confidence in confidence, no. It is confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of our God, we will set up our banners. That's confidence. See, in Bible times, children, they would set up these banners. That whatever the banner of the country was, or the banner of the army, they would put it on a long pole, and everybody could see it. It's like that in Jeremiah 51. Set up a banner in the land. Blow the trumpet among the nations. Prepare the nations against her. Call together against her the kingdoms. It was a sign for the king's soldiers to go run and get your weapons and prepare to fight. But for God's people, it is a symbol of putting our trust in the Lord and relying on his strength, not our own. Yes, we will courageously enter the battle with his and all our enemies. We will enter the battle against sin in our own hearts. We will enter the battle against Satan and the wicked influences of the world as good soldiers of Christ, as Paul says. And we will endure hardness. And we will fight his banners, fight his battles under his banners, the banner of the Lord of hosts. Those banners were also used as a sign of victory. The banners would be set up, the flags would be hung out. Some of our older people remember Liberation Day after World War II, when the Allies were declaring victory. And in Holland, the orange banners were hung out and the flags of the Netherlands were waving. We will set up our banners. We will set up our banners in the name of our God. In the New Testament church, the name of Christ, the great captain of our salvation. He has already obtained a complete victory over all his enemies for us. And he has made us more than conquerors through his victory. So we will set up our banners. We will hang out the flag. And in the Lord's name, we will triumph over sin and Satan and the world and death and hell in his name. Not in our name, but in his name alone. And in preparation for the Lord's Supper. And in all the circumstances of life, our confidence is in the name of the Lord our God. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. And the Lord did fulfill all the petitions of the Lord Jesus Christ, his anointed. And the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is confident of this as we listen to the following words. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed one, saves his Messiah. So David and the church here are not speaking of David himself. No, they're speaking of the Messiah, the one who was anointed by Jehovah God himself, who was set as king over his holy hill. He was anointed with the oil of gladness, says David in one of the Psalms, meaning anointed by and with the Holy Spirit. And the church prays in faith, and the church is strongly assured of the salvation of the Messiah. Yes, his troubles would be great, and his troubles would be many, but he is delivered out of them all. He would be heard and helped in the day of salvation. He would be freed from the sorrows of death and hell. In fact, he says, where is now your sting, O death? And where is your sting, grave? He took it away. He would be raised from the dead. He will have all power in heaven and on earth given to him. He will ascend on high and triumph over all his enemies. And our confidence for the Lord's Supper is that all his people, all the members of his body, would be saved completely, saved to the uttermost through him who is salvation himself. He will hear him. God will hear Messiah from his holy heaven, from the holy place in heaven where God's throne and God's temple are, the place where his holiness is. And that is where the prayers of the Messiah when he was on earth, that's where they ascended to. And that is where they were received by God, and where they were heard, and where they were answered. And the church here is sure of it. In verse 1, she's still praying that the Lord will hear, but here they say, he will hear. She believes that he will be heard. The Lord God will answer with the saving strength of his right hand. The saving strength of his almighty power. In strengthening the Messiah as a man to bear up under his sorrows. It is God Almighty who strengthened him to go through his work and to finish that work. It is God by upholding him with his right hand while he is doing that work, and by raising him up from the dead with the strength of his right hand and setting him down at his right hand in the highest heavens. What is our confidence to be in preparation for the Lord's Supper? That the Lord has strengthened His Messiah in His darkest hours when He was suffering and dying in our place. That's our need. That's our confidence, that the Lord heard Him, that the Lord strengthened Him in our place, and that He strengthens us and hears us too through the intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why we, dear believers, we will rejoice in Thy salvation, beginning in this lifetime already, beginning now, beginning next Lord's Day at the Lord's table, and one day, that rejoicing will be in all its fullness, would never be hindered anymore by our sins, by our temptations, by Satan, and by the worldly influences all around us. We will rejoice in what? In Thy salvation. Well, there's still more to say, but first, let's sing together. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Speaking here in military terms, which David does more often, he's thinking of the chariots and horses that were prepared for war. We can't hardly imagine it anymore these days, and heat-seeking missiles and so on that we hear about sometimes, but here they use chariots and horses. And to the enemy in the battle, those chariots were very terrible. They were heavy. Sometimes they had very sharp scythes or things like that attached to the outside of the wheels, and they would turn and run through troops of men and cut them to pieces. So if you had chariots and you were trusting them because they were so powerful, and you had horses that were trained for battle, that were trained to trample on the enemy soldiers. And so if you had horses and chariots, you trusted in them as you prepared for war. And yet, God makes it abundantly clear that horses and chariots are vain things for safety. They can't be depended on, because salvation and victory are of the Lord. So in David's days, it was chariots and horses and the sun and the idols that the Gentiles trusted, or the idols that the people of Israel were worshiping. Today, there's all kinds of things that people depend on for salvation. Some people think we are saved because we have these outward blessings. We have everything we need in this life. So the Lord is loving us, and yes, all is well with us. Some people think because we do works of righteousness, yes, that means we're saved. Or because we have these tears of repentance and we really mean it, that means we're saved. Or we live an outwardly moral life. We make profession of faith. We have a list of things that we have done for the Lord and things that we have not done. But all these things are not to be trusted. They're like the chariots and the horses of the Old Testament. And if you know the way of life and the way of salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ alone, you will not be trusting anywhere else or in anyone else. No, we will trust no one, not even ourselves. We will trust nothing, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. In Scripture, there are many names for the Lord our God, and each one of those names serves to encourage our faith and our dependence in Him. Because here the name means not just a name spelled out in letters, but it refers to the very person of God and His perfections, His mercy, His love, His goodness, His wisdom, His justice, We're to remember all those and confide in them and be confident in them. So that in preparation for the Lord's Supper, if you think, where is now my confidence? It is in the name of the Lord our God. It is in the God, the Lord our God. His name is strong. He is called a strong tower to the righteous. And to remember his name is to keep that name in our minds and not forget him. It means to have the desires of our soul going out to him and his remembrance. It means to make mention of him, of his names, his attributes, his words, his works in our prayers and to others for his glory and for the encouragement of our faith and the faith of others. We will remember the name of the Lord our God. So we will rejoice in thy salvation. We will remember the name of the Lord our God. That also means to call on that name in times of trouble, which means to call on him at all times. And it means to trust in him and not to trust in an arm of flesh, as the Bible calls it. We call to mind past occasions where the Lord has shown us his goodness, his wisdom, his power. We go to his word and we believe that word. We can only do this by seeing that God is God. He is not a man like we are. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ was. But God Almighty is not a man who can change. We remember the name of the Lord. And we remember that by grace and by faith, dear believers, he is the Lord, our God, our faithful, covenant-keeping God. That's our confidence in preparation for the Lord's Supper. He is the Lord, our God. Yes, they who trust in horses and chariots are brought down and fallen. Verse 8. They're brought down from their places of honor and safety that they thought, and they are fallen into the hands of their enemies. They're fallen on the ground dead. They're brought down to hell and to the pit of corruption. Yes, they are fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. We who remember the name of the Lord our God, we who trust in him alone, yes, we shall rise and we shall stand upright. Even we shall rise up to heaven. We see it in the bringing in the fullness of the Gentiles happening all around us in this world. We see it in the prophecy concerning the conversion of many, many Jews. Think of Ezekiel's prophecy. The dead bones will live again and stand on their feet like a very great army. In those days, the righteous shall flourish, says Peter, and have abundance of peace and prosperity. This may also be a prophecy of the first resurrection. The dead in Christ will rise first and will stand before the Lord with confidence and not be ashamed. Confidence because they will say, our trust is in the name of the Lord our God. We rejoice in his salvation. In that day the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. We heard from Psalm chapter 1. And then verse 9. Save, Lord. Save us, Lord. With a temporal, with a spiritual, with an eternal saving, an eternal salvation. The church cries this out to God the Father. And then let the King hear us when we call. We call that out to Messiah. He is called the King of Kings. 1 Timothy 6 verse 14, our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, that means the mighty Lord, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. Let the King hear us when we call. It means we're calling. He won't hear us when we're not calling. When we call. Are you calling to the King of Kings? Save, Lord. Today, save us, Lord. This is the King who hears and receives the prayers of His people. As the mediator, He presents our prayers to His Father, lays them on the altar, and it rises up with sweet-smelling incense because He is the priest as well as the King. And in preparation for the Lord's Supper, our confidence is that the King shall hear us when we call. And we're confident of that, not only because of our past experience that He has heard us when we called, but because the Bible says so, He will hear us when we call. We will rejoice in Thy salvation. So in conclusion, beloved, what is your need? And what is your confidence in preparation for the Lord's Supper? See, it is only by God's grace and through faith that we even know our need in preparation for the Lord's Supper. Is this your need too? I need the Lord to hear me. I need the Lord to defend me, to strengthen me, to fulfill my petitions. I need the Lord to unite me to Christ Jesus in His day of trouble on my behalf. Are you not aware of that need? Is that not your experience, beloved? It's only by God's grace and by God's faith that we have confidence in preparation for the Lord's Supper, that we will rejoice in Christ Jesus, that we will set up our banners in His name, that we have the confidence that the Lord saves His anointed and us in Him, that we have confidence in remembering the name of the Lord our God, confidence that we are risen with Christ and stand upright in Christ, confidence that the King will hear us when we call. Is that your confidence, beloved? Everything else is false confidence. We all need to be crying out, "Oh, Holy Spirit, blessed Holy Spirit, show us our needs and give us this confidence." Our need for the Lord Jesus Christ and our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. And one final comment before we go. Dear believers among us, if there are unresolved issues between you and another believer, then you must go and make it right. In preparation for the Lord's Supper, we need to reconcile our differences. Otherwise we lack this confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we make every effort to right the wrongs that we have done. We go and we ask for forgiveness this week. And we grant forgiveness when it is asked for. You see, because unless issues are resolved, you cannot and you will not rejoice in Christ's salvation. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, what an amazing thing it is that the Psalms written so many thousands of years ago ring so true for us today. That we, looking through these Psalms, through through the lens of the New Testament, can see displayed before us the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that, O Lord, we would learn to see our need for Him, to hear us, to help us, to defend us, to strengthen us, to fulfill our petitions, to unite us with Christ, that we may find our confidence, Lord, not in ourselves, but in Christ Jesus the Lord, so that we will rejoice in Thy salvation and set up our banners in His name. Confidence that the Lord saves His anointed. And let the King hear us when we call. Lord, we are calling. Oh Lord, we pray for all of us here that we may know this through the Holy Spirit worked experiences in our lives, in our hearts, that this may be reality for us. Not just words that we say, phrases that we know, but the reality of our very existence, to need the Lord Jesus and to confide in Him alone. Lord, be with us when we go now to our catechism classes and to sermon discussion time. We pray, O Lord, that there too the name of the Lord Jesus may be lifted up, may be exalted. We would encourage one another to seek the Lord now and to see our needs fulfilled in Him alone and to have our confidence there and in Him alone. Bring us safely back this afternoon. Prepare us, Lord, for the administration of the sacrament of holy baptism. Pray for the parents who will be presenting their children for baptism this afternoon, that You would grant to them all that they need to bring up these little ones, these covenant children, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Keep us from sin, we pray, and forgive our many sins in Jesus' name. Amen.